Hello and welcome to the Built to Scale podcast, a podcast from Sattva where we explore the stories, the systems, the turning points behind businesses that are built to last. I'm your host, Maggie Olson, and each week I interview and talk with entrepreneurs, founders, and industry experts to uncover what it really takes to grow a business without losing yourself in the process. Because scaling isn't always about working harder or adding more tools. A lot of the time, it's about building the right systems, making intentional decisions, and creating a business that really supports the life you're trying to build. So let's go ahead and get started. Hello and welcome back to the Built to Scale podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Olson, and I believe that every business owner has a story and every business has a turning point. On this show, we explore those moments, the mindsets, the systems, and a lot of the decisions that help every business grow without losing what made them special in the first place. So whether you're just getting started or building your next chapter, my hope is that every episode leaves you with one idea that you can take back into your own business. So today, I'm so excited to be talking with Lauren Perlinghi, who is a psychic medium. She is an intuitive human design business guide, a trauma-informed healer, and the creator of the 90-second method. So she is the founder of the Mermaid Light and host of the Enchanted Misfits podcast and TV show, where she helps purpose-driven entrepreneurs, healers, and seekers reconnect with themselves, trust their intuition, and build lives and businesses aligned with who they truly are. Lauren, I am so excited to have you on today. So today, my hope is that we can talk more about whether entrepreneurs can build a business that grows without sacrificing themselves in the process. So hello and welcome. I would love for you to just share a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here, or be here. Thank you for having me is what I was going to say. So a little bit about me. Yes, I'm in kind of switch gears before we started recording. It's so funny because we have collaborated in the past and we were both doing two different things. Like we were doing kind of similar things, but like, I feel like it's totally different now. So I'm super excited. I'm doing more of my podcast, the Enlightened Misfits, and it's actually it's going to be on a TV network show. So I would love for you guys to check that out. But really, what I have been supporting lately is I've always kind of supported like purpose-driven entrepreneurs, but it's more about, you know, they come to me of like, this is what's keeping me stuck. And they come to me with like a block, but it's not really a block. It's more of like a little voice inside their head that it's like, they're doing all these amazing things, right? So they've had transformations, they've had all these losses, they've had all the healing, and it's like, what do I do next? And they can't figure out how to get to that next thing, but it's that voice that's like, are you sure you can do it? And it's like quieting that voice, or actually not quieting that voice, getting rid of that voice, because that voice just gets louder and it turns into self-sabotage. So that's pretty much what I've been focused and narrowed down, what I've been helping people with. And it really goes well with my 90-second method, which is a very quick method with three steps that I teach people to go into when that voice starts or when that self-doubt. And I'm not saying that you'll ever get rid of, like that you'll always get rid of the doubt, because that's not, every level has its challenges. Like that's not what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to a past version or older version, or a voice from your old boss, or a voice that your parents made you believe, or that conditioning that is not going to allow you to scale, move in your business, because it's always going to be like, are you sure that's enough? You know, and that's different for everybody, but that's pretty much my focus now.
Yeah, I love that. And I think it's so important to connect with that little voice, because mm-hmm. You're right. It's the voice of self-sabotage. And it's always, I mean, like, I feel like it's always going to be there, but when you can arm yourself with tools like the 90-second method to be like, oh, hey, I see you sitting there. No, this actually isn't self-sabotage. This actually is something that's good for me. I feel like that's so important, especially for entrepreneurs, because we have to make all the decisions in our business, right? We are the ones that are in charge, which is the best and the worst thing, right? Like, because there's so many things.
Right. Yeah. And especially, and I don't want to say that, you know, before I had this conversation with my higher self and my guides about, you know, I would hear this voice and I'd be like, oh, just shut up and sit down. Well, if you think of it, and I was on a session yesterday and he was telling me about, like, you know, you telling your voice to sit up and sit down or whatever, shut up and sit down. You're still allowing that energy to be in your party, right? Mm-hmm. So it's still leaking in there. And until you completely remove it or give it permission to leave or say you're not welcome here, you're still accepting that type of level of, it's about frequency. So you're still accepting that. So for me, I was doing myself a disservice saying that, oh, you know, oh, just sit up and like, or just stop talking or stop doing that. I now say, well, you're allowed to have an opinion. And the way that he explained it to me, which makes sense, and I'm going to share it with you guys, is he said, you know, have you ever babysat or taught a class before? If a little kid says to you, you tell a little kid or you tell your own kid, maybe another kid would be better because some people probably would tell their kids, sit up and shut down. All right, sit up and shut down. Sit down and shut up. But the purpose is to look at it from a different perspective on, you know, would you tell a little kid, what would you tell a little kid if this little kid, you told him your dreams and this little kid said, that's not going to happen. For when he said that to me, I kind of like paused and I was like, what would I tell my daughter? Like, what would I say to my younger self? Because obviously I was telling my younger self to like sit down and shut up. But then I said to myself, I would never tell my daughter that, or I would never tell another kid that. And what came to me was, okay, you can have an opinion. And then that's it. And then it's like, oh, she doesn't care. So yeah. I'm just going to stop speaking. And then, you know, that little voice eventually goes away, or you would not allow that energy to kind of, you know, filter your head, because people are like, oh, you know, I can't meditate, or I can't do this, or I can't do that because I just can't. Well, that's the energy of you not being able to do anything in your business either. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all energy, right? So it's like, if you, you know, some people are like, their relationship's a mess, this is a mess, that's a mess. Well, you have to, like, it can't all be, you can't have one thing and not the other. Like, it's all a mirror. So, you know, I kind of investigated my own and I was like, you're right. That's why all of this is not working. Because I'm, even though you might not react or you might not respond in a way that you want to respond to, I do know that that voice is playing in your head. So it's going to sabotage some way. So it's kind of like, now you just let people have an opinion, because the more that you grow, the more that you, you know, become more popular. I don't really like to use that word, but like, you know, you get more followers, you have more clients. There is going to be people that do not like you because of how successful you are. What are you going to say to those people when that happens? You need to be able to not let that affect you. Right. And I feel like a couple months ago, that wouldn't be the case for me, but now it is, because I'm like, okay, they can have an opinion. That still is not affecting me on what I'm doing. And I think that's really important, especially if you want to grow and you want to be successful, because the world is not all for you.
Right. You know? Yeah. It's kind of like neutralizing things to be like, yeah, that can be there and it doesn't have to bother me. And I think that as an entrepreneur is so important, because you're right. You can serve anyone. Anyone can be your client, but not everyone is going to vibe with you, right? Like, you can't be there for everyone in that capacity. Right. I love that. Okay. Yeah. So I know you've talked openly about burnout and about your near-death experience, and mm-hmm. we don't have to like dive super deep into that, but I am curious, how did those experiences change the way you approach business?
Sure. So I feel like probably it was probably my biggest decision that I made to choose that alignment versus that hustle. Because like when I was in burnout or when I had those experiences of near-death experiences, it was kind of like I didn't have the belief that I got to choose. It was always conditioned to me that, you know, I never had a choice. So like kind of like looking back on it now, like I built my business like the way that it's supposed to be. Well, I thought it was supposed to be, and realizing I was following strategies or that worked for other people while I was ignoring my own energy, my own intuition, my own nervous system. So that's kind of where I used astrology and human design to kind of align myself with realizing success for me wasn't about doing more. And how can I honor my unique design? That's kind of mirrored also back into my near-death experience, because again, I'm saying that I didn't think I got to choose, but I got to choose to come back here. Mm-hmm. So I still had that power of like choice is really important, because we always give away our power. And I see it so much lately in my own clients that they'll try to give me the power, their power, because, you know, oh, I'm so grateful for you. I wouldn't be able to do this without you. And I'm like, but no, take back your power and start from within and start building that, you know, confidence, your business, whatever it is for you. Like it's couldn't be different for everybody. And then I started to attracting the right clients, or maybe a lesson that I needed to learn about boundaries. Like the last couple months have been about boundaries with myself. So I have good boundaries in my business. I have good boundaries outside, but I didn't have good boundaries with myself. I'm still working and I'm sort of doing the things I need to do with boundaries with myself. But that was a huge thing that I noticed, that I didn't have good boundaries with myself. And that was, again, mirrored to me in my business or in my relationship or with my friends or with my kid, you know. And I think that, to, you know, going back to answer your question, I think that, you know, building a business, because you hear this, it's a buzzword. And then I'm saying this and people are probably like, well, I hear this a lot. Like, you know, it's true. Like people are like, oh, come build your, no, like it's just, it's different. And I only use human design to help you understand that this is your alignment. And if you're not listening to your strategy or not listening to your authority or whatever you choose, whatever system, whatever tool you choose to use, you have to know what's in alignment for you, because alignment for a projector like me is not going to be like for you, Maggie, like it's not going to be the same for a manifesting generator.
Right.
And it might look very similar, but it's going to be completely different, because I listen to my intuition different than you listen to your intuition. Mm-hmm. It's just how it is. I'm an emotional authority. I have to ride my emotions and feel my emotions before I act. Somebody that's, you know, maybe a splenic authority, and this is kind of going into like human design, but like this is like kind of like people are like, oh, I can trust myself. And that self-trust is important, because most people that I work with don't like to be in their body. They don't trust themselves. They put the blame on everybody else. Oh, I don't trust anybody. Well, my whole thing is when I hear that is, why don't you trust yourself? Because again, if you can't trust yourself, you 100% can't trust people. And I'm not judging from that place. I'm just saying that's the experience that I had. So I think, you know, from my three different experiences of my near-death experience and my three different clinical diagnoses of like burnout to the point that I could not even function. Like I couldn't even move my body. You know, human design was a lifesaver for me. I use other modalities now, but at the same time, I needed to start there. And I think that if you're somebody that is listening to this and you're like, maybe you don't know your burnout, but maybe you got a burnout diagnosis. I don't know. Whatever it is, you can't start building a business from a place of burnout. And I think that alignment is a word that everybody talks about, but who really knows what alignment? It's just like authentically, like, what does this feel like? Does this feel like I can do this every day? It's going to look different every day. You know, like those are the type of questions that I suggest you ask yourself and or ask for help. Like, this is my issue. This is what I have going on. And just being vulnerable and courageous to say, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I think that's important.
No, and I think I love that because as you were talking, I was like, oh, you know, especially when you talk about alignment, it's a buzzword. And, you know, we're both yoga teachers, right? So if you didn't know that, Lauren and I are both yoga teachers, which is so funny how like how our paths just are very similar, but also like so, so different. But I also know that in the yoga community, they talk about alignment, especially in classes. And so I learned to teach in 2012. I learned to teach power yoga, right? Baptiste power yoga, which is like adjacent. I would consider it adjacent to Ashtanga, which is very alignment based, right?
Right.
And, you know, so, and it was always like hammered home, alignment, alignment, alignment. And now I don't teach much anymore, but from what I see online from who I still follow, they're not talking about alignment as much anymore. Not rigidity alignment, as in your foot must go here and here and you have to contort your body to be this. It's more of how do you feel in your body, in yourself? Like, can you go inside? And like, I'm so grateful yoga taught me that inner alignment, where it's like, yes, this feels good to me. No, this doesn't. And yes, I'm a sacral authority, right? But we all have sacral energy. And I think in human design, that's what people, they're like, oh, I'm a projector and I don't have my sacral isn't defined. So therefore I don't have it, but you still have, like, we all have that energy. And I think, you know, thinking about like the experiences that we've all accumulated to this point in life, right? Like those are all building up to like jump you and guide you into the next things that you're doing. So I think being able to go inside and like sit with yourself and be like, okay, what are the voices that are talking? Like, what am I saying to myself? Good, bad, or indifferent, and how is that really affecting me? What am I doing based on those decisions? Am I showing up because my inner self is saying, oh, you better show up again or no one's going to buy your things? So I'm showing up out of like guilt and like, oh my God, I need to do this. Or is it, oh my gosh, I can't wait to tell all the people who follow me about this cool thing that I'm doing, right? Because those are two the same things, but very different energies.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you said that too about, it lost it. I don't know what I was just getting ready to say. I was getting ready to say something about alignment and I'm like, no, I don't know what I was going to say. It'll come back to me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. About yoga. Yeah. About yoga. It's interesting. I hardly ever teach anymore, but I actually have been, it's actually the gratitude that I have for yoga, because it gave me a place of like, I can step into my authority and be that leader to teach. And you're right. I love teaching yin yoga and, just yoga that like is very slow and very intentional. And when you said about in like alignment, I don't think I would ever talk about that. It's kind of like the energy and like, you know, when you're stretching and just kind of being in the moment, it's like, how do you feel of like, you know, where can you kind of stretch more into or be more into or something like that. And I think that that is really a huge thing for me in the beginning. I mean, I taught a lot in the beginning, and then it's kind of like something that I always carry with me, or always I will do it. I like to be more of a student instead of teaching now. I like to just go to yoga. And I think it's like a place that is like a safe space for me. And it's like, I can just, you know, be myself. And, but yeah, it's, I definitely carry a lot of the, it taught me a lot of leadership, qualities. And, the other thing I wanted to say is about projectors, because I've noticed that it's kind of like this limitation that projectors put themselves into. And I feel like I can, you know, a projector is not going to get as triggered if another projector says this, but they probably still will. I noticed for me, I used to always make an excuse about it. My husband was really good about, he's a projector too. So he was very like, why are you using that as an excuse? You have the energy. Maybe it's just not for you. Or maybe that's just not something that you need to do right now or whatever, you know? So it's kind of helped me in a way that I'm like, because I could, my chart's different. I feel like I can do, I have a lot of generator. I have, my whole chart is defined except for the my root and my sacral. So it's like, I have a lot of energy. So it's like, but at what capacity do I limit myself to not continue to do all this? Because that's why I led to so much burnout, you know? So I think that the projectors that don't have a lot of defined energy, it's going to look a little bit different for you. You're not going to, you're going to look at me like she's not a projector. I can feel that. I get that, you know? But at the same time, I'm also doing things that I actually enjoy versus working at a 9-to-5 that most people are working right now, you know? And it just, oh, the other, the thought that I actually really wanted to say also was that if you don't like your reality right now, you're the one that's manifesting that reality. So what are you, like, what are your thoughts? What are you saying to yourself? What is, what are people telling you? What are you believing? What is your environment? And it changed that. And then you can change your life. And I think people think it's like, they don't believe me when I say it, but it's like, what are you actually saying to yourself? Like, what are you telling people that you love? Like, what are you, how are you talking to people? What are you saying? Like, voice message yourself. What are you saying? If you don't know, I mean, I tried it and I'm like, shit, this is why my life is the way it is, because of the, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, it's about frequency. So it's like, if you don't have any money right now, if you're, you don't have any clients right now, if you're, you don't have a business, like it, why? What are you telling yourself that you don't deserve it? It's not enough. Like that's what's really important. And that's the stuff that people don't want to look at. And when they're told to look at it, they kind of just try to bypass it, like spiritually bypass it. It doesn't work. I mean, you can try it, but it doesn't work.
No. And I really agree, because I think you have to understand the things that you're saying to yourself in order to make those significant changes, right? Like when I left corporate, I was almost immediately a different person. And it's funny because I know you had like an actual near-death experience, but for me, like I think we all in our own way have those experiences.
Yeah.
Because when I think back to that time period of my life, like I am not that person anymore. When I took the chance, stood up and said, no, I'm not doing these things that you're forcing me to do. I'm done. Like, essentially, that was the death of part of me, right? Mm-hmm. Where I was like, no, I'm no longer sitting for this. Like, I am standing up and going and doing my own thing. And like, almost overnight, it felt like I became such a different person. And I knew there was a lot of like lead up to that. But like, right. You know, when I left, I was like, oh, I feel renewed. I feel excitement again. I don't feel dread having to get up in the morning, right? Like, and yeah. I noticed how I was talking to myself, and like the things I was thinking throughout the day after I left corporate was like, oh, I'm no longer thinking, oh my God, I shouldn't be doing this thing because this person is going to be mad that I'm not doing that thing, but I can't do that thing because it's not ready. And like just the cascade of like, oh, here's all this like emotional junk that I was able to like, And I mean, the amount of money that I was able to make, right? Leaving corporate and trusting in myself, like crazy, crazy. Yeah. So one thing that stood out to me in when you were answering the questions preparing for this episode is that you're trying to build better systems without losing the personal experience that your clients love. So I think that is really something that every founder, every CEO, like every person in business will eventually face. I would love to hear more on how you're navigating that, right? Because systems and change can be overwhelming and scary. So how does, like, what does that look like for you?
So, it was very, it didn't really look like much until I realized somebody asking me, like, what's your system? And it was, I think it was before I met you. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? She goes, when you go on vacation or you don't, are not doing anything or whatever, does your business stop? And I was like, oh yeah, I can't, if I'm not doing something in my business, I have, you know, free stuff. I now have my ebook. I have my podcast. People can find me on social media. I have things like that, but like nothing was like, oh, I can buy Lauren's thing. I can buy Lauren's ebook. I can buy this. I can buy that. Nothing was automated. It was kind of like if Lauren didn't answer me and send me this or book a call, you know, obviously I have all of that stuff now. It wasn't like, it was very founder dependent. I think that's the word. I think that's the word I want to use.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a system. Like I didn't have a clear system that like if somebody went to my YouTube channel from a video of like 2 years ago or a year ago, like do I have a system set up that if they go through this, how are they going to connect with me? It's usually the free call or book a session. Now I have all that stuff, but I didn't, if somebody would have asked me that question 5 years ago, I would have been like, what kind of system? Because nobody really talked about systems in the beginning. It was like all, you know, digital products or whatever. Now I have a digital product. So it's kind of like, and I'm making more stuff. So I think that I feel like I can breathe, I think is the easiest thing, because I know that if I'm working or I have to go do like, go get my daughter from summer camp, or I actually have to just like, I have real life shit going on. I don't really have to manage. I have to answer these people. There's a way that I've set up that if, you know, they can reach out to me, obviously, or they can go watch my podcast, or they can go or listen to my podcast, or go watch a video, or go binge my social. There's enough things that they can do to get their answer instead of answering me in the texting me in the DMs, asking me something that they can go watch it or go find it, you know? So I think that to answer your question, I feel like if you don't have a system, like there are so many people that I can think of right now that don't have that system of thinking if they build this thing, this is going to be it. Like I'm thinking about one of my clients right now thinking she needs to do a podcast, but I'm just not in this, we're not working together right now that I'm there, I'm going to dump all of my stuff into helping her with that because there's going to be more with that. But what I'm saying is like, you don't have to build one more thing to get people to work with you. You just need to have one thing that you have and make that into a system of like, how can they get generated into something or have something that could pay you? Very low ticket to be a high ticket. Cause I've never had a client that has ever not paid me. That's paid me my high ticket, you know, sale. Like they've always had to have some type of conversation with me or trusted somebody that they told or bought my ebook or whatever it was. Like they didn't just be like, I mean, maybe it's coming, but they didn't just like, I need to work one-on-one with her, like without any interaction of who I am. I mean, besides watching my podcast or, you know, I watched your YouTube video and I'm like, oh, great. Which one was it like from 3 years ago? Cause like, that's really, you know, I still have all of those up there because they have really good information, but it's completely different than if you go watch my YouTube channel, you know, like for the podcast, there's like, you're gonna be like, is this the same person? You know, I think people did say that they love that because it can see my growth and like through the, you know, through time. But yes, you need to pick like one thing, like one social media, one outlet, you know, being able to have something if you're into sale, like ads, paid, like spend or something like that. So it's like you work your hours and that's it. And then you have something that runs like with you. Cause if not, you're not going to be able to make the 10, 20,000 a month that you want to make. I mean, that's just from what I've seen, but I mean, I could be completely wrong. I'm just saying this is from my perspective. I've never seen somebody that made that much money that has not had a system or something or a team, like of people that are doing this for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that I have a team, but like something that you're building together, even if it's just your pay link and, you know, how can somebody click your free link and maybe turn into a paid call? Like, do you have that? You know, I didn't at first. Now I do, right. You know, because if they book a free call, maybe they're like, no, I did the free thing. I did the free chart, but now I want to do I want to pay her free call and then, or, you know, her paid call or buy her ebook or watch her YouTube channel. Oh, go listen to her podcast. Like that's important. I just didn't think it was in the beginning.
Yeah. And I think this is, it's so interesting to me because I see the through line, right? Like, and I think that's just how I'm built. And I know the first time that we collaborated, I think I had asked you about client journey and you were like, what is that? And I was like, girl, let's help people go from cold to sold. And I think that is something that I don't see a lot of people talking or teaching about it. And I know personally from like when I created and hosted yoga teacher trainings, that was like a big no-no to teach people how to make money in the yoga industry was like taboo. And I'm like, so I'm paying someone to learn how to teach yoga. Yeah, cool. But like, why isn't anybody teaching me how to run my studio, how to, you know, bring people into classes, how to make people go from cold to sold? Like, it's not a one-step process, but like, what do I do to bring people in at the time to my yoga studio, right? And now as I've, you know, grown as an entrepreneur, like, how do I bring people into my mentoring programs? How do I bring people into, you know, other places that I'm working with people? And I think it's a big bottleneck to not understand the client journey, right? Because you can create all the products in the world that you want. You right. can just keep creating. But mm-hmm. if you don't know how does someone go from, oh, scrolling on Instagram, randomly seeing a reel or a post of yours to like, oh, I actually want to learn more about this person. Oh, I want to download the freebie. Oh, I'll buy the $27 ebook. Oh, she's hosting a workshop. Yes, of course I want to go. She's hosting a group program. Yes, of course I want it, right? Like, how do we create those customer evangelists? I think the client journey is the key to unlocking that bottleneck right now.
Yeah. And I was going to say, it's funny how literally, I think that's probably what I look like. I'm like, my client, what? What did you just say? So it's kind of like in the beginning of when I was kind of like doing like systems and like, what is when she asked me like what my system is. And I was like, oh, I use FG Funnels and I'm doing, and she's like, no, not your CRM system, not all the stuff that you created. Like, how does somebody go? So, you know what I did after talking to you? Like, I did that. Like, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. So if I'm said client, right, how do I get from clicking Lauren's free human design guide? Just say it's the guide, right? I got it on Facebook. So they're in my Facebook, whatever. How do I now, and that these most people are like, I don't like me, I'm that person. I don't like, you know, spreadsheets. I don't like this. I don't like that. Well, now it's like, I have a running list of like who I talk to. Now it's kind of like, when did I talk to them? This. It actually is really beneficial for me now because I have podcast guests. I have people that listen to the podcast. I have all this stuff that I'm like, I needed a place that I'm like, who did I talk to? When did I talk to them? Where did I talk to them? And now I can reach out to them like, oh, I remember them saying something about, I want to go to your retreat, which could be completely different from, you know, this and that. So it's like, I feel like it's really important to be, even if it's like, I'm really old fashioned of writing on a piece of paper. Like I have a list right here of people that I wanted to invite to my in-person retreat. I wouldn't have that if I just started, if it didn't start figuring out how to track people. Because I think in my mind, oh, I'll just remember it when they come, they remember, or put a reminder in my phone of like, reach out to them, blah, blah, blah. Right. Or they'll just pop in my mind. Usually it's a little bit too late. So I feel like that is really important because I could tell you how this person goes from here to here. If they click this, if they get my free chart, they have four different options besides my free in-person retreat. That's just on my, you know, link tree, but they know how to find it. You know, they know where to go to it. They've seen it. I talk about it. I email them, you know, like, so I feel like it's really important too. And to nurture your email list, cause I do have a very large email list. So it's like, I think that's a really important thing. Cause people are like, I only have 300 people. And I'm like, look at it this way. 300 people is 300 people. Like if you look at a crowd of people and there's 300 people in front of you, that's the people that you're talking to.
Yeah.
So if you told me you had a list of 10, that's still a list. That's still 10 people. You could potentially get one sale. Like,
yeah. And I mean, quite honestly, a list of 10 warm or hot leads is probably more profitable than a list of 1,000 people who are like cold to cool. And I think, you know, like, yeah, nobody wants to track things, right? Like nobody, everyone's like,
I don't know why.
I'll just remember. And so this is something that I've observed, right? And as a woman who I have children, right? Like I'm married, we have dogs, we have chickens, we have a cat, like we've got all the things, right? Like we've got a little farm happening. Like the kids are 8 and 4. So they're getting involved in sports. I can no longer take care of our entire schedule in my brain. I have to put it somewhere else. And I think as a woman, and I know other women will like understand this when I say it, like the decision fatigue is insane, right? Whether you have kids or not, like decision fatigue is something that so many women struggle with. And that is part of the reason why I started looking at client journey for myself, but also for others, because, well, how do people make those decisions? But more importantly, are you tracking? Are you looking at Susie who downloaded your freebie? Like, are you responding to her? No, because you've put her in your brain and you're like, I'll remember. But if you're like me, it's a lot of song lyrics from the 90s up there and a whole lot of, why did I walk into this room again? Right? Like, so no, chances are you're probably not going to remember. But when you write it down, like there's something in the like physicality of like typing it, like physically writing it, where it's like out of you on paper, you're more likely to remember to do that thing. And I think when you can let go of the bottleneck of like, oh, everything resides in my brain, because quite honestly, something other people don't think about is like, what is your exit plan? Or what happens, God forbid, if you are like, something happens to you, you're in the hospital, you can't work, and you need to have someone fill in for you. Well, they're not going to know what to do if everything is stuck up in your head. So,
right.
Letting go of that, like, I have to hold everything and being intentional about, like, I want growth. If someone were to step into my shoes tomorrow, would they know what to do? I think that is a very important thing, especially if you're a founder, if you're a CEO, if you want to have a team, it's very important to extract that data and be able to say to a VA, hey, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I do it. If you can make it better, great, but here's a starting point.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, when I, in the beginning, I didn't have a VA, and I think a lot of people start out with not having VAs, which is fine. There's also people that I'm like, why do you have a VA? Like, you know, also no judgment, but I'm like, okay. But like, it's kind of like before a VA would be like, what does she do? Like how, there's no system, there's no nothing. Now it's like, oh, okay. I mean, maybe I have things like all over the place, but like I have it, it's written down of like how this person, you know, like you could look at my stuff in my computer and figure it out. You know, if you are, you know, it's not that hard, you know, but I think before when I asked a simple question, I said this to a client last week. Okay. So like how, I know that you know how this is coming from it. There's just, it's just so much stuff. And for me, it's overwhelming when she's telling me how, where she's getting money from and she's this. And I was like, why is it so hard? If it's hard for me to understand as your mentor, how do you think people understand it? Like, I'm telling you what, that people do not care. You have to make it simple, stupid, easy for people to buy from you. Like Amazon makes it super fucking easy. They have an app that you go on, you type in what you want, and then you fucking pay for it. So it's like, that is how much you have to make it so easy. Less words and so easy. And I think that's what I've kind of been trying to make my own content. And people are like, this is easy. I know exactly the transformation. I know what she's talking about. And this is how I pay her. Because like, that's really all it's about, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm curious, what is one thing, so as we're wrapping up the episode here, what is one thing that someone who's listening could do this week to make their business feel lighter?
That's a good question. what is one thing? I think that it's, I say this a lot, is your nervous system is your business strategy. And if you want business to feel lighter, you have to feel lighter. So if you can't sustain a growing business while like living in constant survival mode. So if you're in this lack mentality and survival mode, your business is not going to grow because your body is not going to put on more dysregulation because it's not safe to be in your body. So if you want it to be lighter, figure out where you can start to make it feel lighter. You know, I always say this, just, you know, your nervous system is your business strategy. So if you're like, if you think of a like electrocuted, you know, power line, why would anything land on that? Why would anything be attracted to that if it's just going to like burn up, you know?
Yeah.
So regulate yourself, or figure out where you can get regulated, or where you can start, or where you can start addressing emotions, where you can start like not suppress yourself, wherever you need to start there and regulate yourself. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. I'm sure you're going to be dysregulated. I'm sure there's going to be lessons of people coming in to dysregulate you, but you need to start exactly where you need to regulate because that is going to be your business strategy. And if you don't believe me, just try it. It works.
Oh, I love it. And what does built to scale mean to you?
So built to scale means to me is if you're not building anything, like if you have if you don't have a strong foundation, there's nothing going to scale. So first start to build your foundation, and then you can watch your business scale. I'm not saying that my business is like scaling and we're like 10, 20K months. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm still kind of in the foundation of like re-foundation, like if you think of it like as a house, my foundation had a crack in it and I'm fixing it and I'm filling in that foundation, and then you can scale. And I think for entrepreneurs, you don't always have, it doesn't have to be a number, but I feel like as long as you have a system, you have to have a system for that to not one person or at least a team to help you scale. But you have to build something. So I feel like for people that are newer or people that are like, I have something, but you know, maybe it's not like a good foundation. I think it start there and then you can watch it scale.
Awesome. I love that so much. So we'll link all your links down below in the show notes, but where can everyone connect with you?
So you can connect with me on any platform that you're on. You can just type in Lauren Perlingi or The Mermaid Light, or if you like podcasts, go check out Enlightened Misfits. Also, it's going to be on a larger media platform. So if you go to the newrealitytv.com, I'll make sure you have the link when it becomes available. You can go watch the show over there. It's on the streaming network. So yeah. So, and then, or you can just simply message me on any YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you are, LinkedIn, X, wherever you are, you can send me a message.
I love it. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It has been so great to catch up with you again. And I'm just so excited for everyone to listen to this. So for everyone who's out there listening, make sure you like, share, subscribe, and make sure you share a review. That just helps push out this podcast to more people like you so they know where to find all this amazing information. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.